I want to read to you for a minute from one of those classic stories. And I just want you to sit back and listen for a few seconds as we read this. It starts like this. Alice was beginning to get very tired of sitting by her sister on the bank and of having nothing to do. Once or twice, she had peeped into the book her sister was reading, but it had no pictures or conversations in it. And what is the use of a book, thought Alice, without pictures or conversations? So she was considering in her own mind, as well as she could at that time, for the hot day had made her feel very sleepy and stupid, whether the pleasure of making a daisy chain would be worth the trouble of getting up and picking the daisies. When suddenly, a white rabbit with pink eyes ran close by her. There was nothing so very remarkable in that, nor did Alice think it was so very much out of the way to hear the rabbit say to itself, oh dear, I shall be too late. When she thought it over afterwards, it occurred to her that she ought to have wondered at this, but at the time it all seemed quite natural to her. But when the rabbit actually took a watch out of its waistcoat pocket and looked at it and then hurried on, Alice started to her feet, for it flashed across her mind that she had never before seen a rabbit with either a waistcoat pocket or a watch to take out of it. And burning with curiosity, she ran across the field after it, and it was just in time to see it pop down a large rabbit hole under the hedge. In another moment, down went Alice after it, never once considering how in the world she was to get out again. Anybody happen to know what that's from? Oh, you guys said it together so nicely. Alice in Wonderland. It's a beautiful story of a girl that discovers a world beyond imagination because she was willing to follow a rabbit down a rabbit hole. My children in my house love nothing more, I think, than dessert and story time, and they usually go together. Every night, if you're at my house, in my home, you will find that without exception, one of my children at some point in the evening will say, Dad, Mom, when are we going to have dessert? That's always one. And the second thing is, Dad, Mom, when are we going to get to watch a movie? Which, in our time, translates into, when do we get to see our story? Because movies are just stories in media form. My children love stories. And recently, Brooke has been reading, and she's now completed a book to the children called Hind's Feet in Hind Places. In high places. And it is just nothing to me that has been more fun than coming upstairs after the kids are ready for bed and going into Hadley's room and Brooke's laying on the bed and around her are our three children. Cole, our youngest, is one and so he's sleeping already because he doesn't sit still and listen to stories yet, which is, you know, one of those things that one-year-olds do. And so the three children are around Brooke. She's laying there and she's reading to them. And you can see in their eyes as you listen and watch how they're responding that the words of the page are coming off and they are entering into the story through their imaginations. And it's just a wonderful thing to see a human being begin to walk into story. As I was thinking about stories this week, and I was thinking about the stories that I love, the stories that tend to warm my heart and speak to my emotions, which is what stories do so well, as they speak to the deepest parts of who we are, I thought of one of my favorite little books called All You Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. I love this book, and the story I'm about to read to you, some of you will go, oh, you've already read that one to us, and I'll go, yes, I have, and you'll hear it again in the next few years, I'm sure, because I love reading from this. But listen to this story, because it speaks to something beyond, perhaps, the stories that we're talking about on bookshelves. Listen. Watched a man setting up a Valentine's Day display in a store window in the middle of January, but the merchants need to get a jump on love, I guess. Don't get me wrong, merchants are fine folks. They give us choices and keep us informed on important holidays. How would you know it was Halloween or Valentine's Day or Mother's Day early enough to do anything about it if the merchants didn't stay on the job? The other group I count on is kindergarten teachers. They always know about holidays. And when it comes to Valentine's and other evidence of love, no merchant can compete with them. What the kindergartners teach, what the kindergarten teachers set in motion, no merchant could sell. It's beyond price. You can't get it in the store. What I'm talking about here is something I like to think of as the gummy lump. Once it was a shoebox, decorated and given to me by my oldest child. Then it became a repository for other relics of childhood given to me by the younger children. The shoebox became my treasure chest in time. Its components are standard. Three colors of construction paper around the outside, pink and red and white, faded now. Aluminum foil, orange tissue paper, several paper dollies, three kinds of macaroni, gumdrops, jelly beans, some other white hearts, the kinds that taste like Tums, with words on them, and the whole thing's held together with a whole big lot of white library paste, which also tastes like Tums, for your information. Anyhow, this shoebox isn't looking too very good now. It's a little shriveled and kind of moldy where the jelly beans and gumdrops have run together. It's still sticky in places, and most of it is more beige than red and white. If you lift the lid, however, you will begin to know what makes me keep it. Unfolded and faded and fragile papers and pieces of large lined school paper, there are words. Hi, Daddy, with an I, and Happy Valentine Day, and I love you. A whole big lot of I love you. Glued to the bottom of the box are 23 X's and O's made out of macaroni. I've counted them more than once. Also, scrawled in several places are the names of three children. The treasures of King Tut are nothing in the face of this. Have you got something around the house like this gummy lump, evidence of love in its most uncomplicated and most trustworthy state? You may live a long, long time. You may receive gifts of great value and beauty. You may experience much love, but you will never believe in it quite as much as you believe in the gummy lump. It makes your world go round and the ride worth the trouble. The three children are grown up now. They still love me, though it's harder sometimes to get direct evidence. And it's love that's complicated by age and knowledge and confusing values. Love, to be sure, but not simple. Not something you could put in a shoebox. This sticky icon sits on my shelf at the top of my closet. Nobody else knows it's there, but I do. And it is a talisman, if you will, a kind of memory, a thing that I think about in the morning as I dress. Once in a while, I take it down from the shelf and open it. It is something I can touch and hold and believe in, especially when love gets difficult and there is no small arms around my neck anymore. Oh, sure, this is the worst kind of simple-minded, heart-trending daddy dribble imaginable. I've probably embarrassed us both by telling you, but it beats anything out of a mood ring or a mantra when it comes to comfort. I have no apology. The gummy lump stands for my kind of love. Bury it with me. I want to take it with me as far as I go. Now, there's another story for you, isn't it? And stories have a way about them to touch our hearts. But what this story reminds me of is that the greatest stories of all are not found in books. They are the stories that are unfolding in the lives of the people around me, especially my children. And as I, as a father, get to watch the stories of my children unfold and develop and grow, that is the magic. That's beyond anything I can find. That is the beauty. And when God created us as human beings, He knew exactly what He was doing, and He knew exactly how we function, and He knew exactly how He created us. And because He created us with this thing called creativity, this thing that allows us to see things beyond the ordinary, we have a fascination with stories. It is the stories that capture the heart. And when God knew that, He gave us something so beautiful that it absolutely exceeds everything we can imagine. And He gave us this. We call it the Bible. Really what it is a story. It is a huge, big, perfect story, harmonized throughout from front to back by hundreds and hundreds of smaller stories that unfold into what God's plan is for humanity. That is what this book is all about. And like any good story, it starts in the beginning with, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." and it carries you through creation, and it carries you through into the villain that appears in the story and takes us away from the one that was rescuing us and loving us, and the villain twists and turns what is best for us, and then the rescuer comes in the Savior and brings us back into relationship. And so the story develops of a story of love and love lost and love found and redemption and life and freedom. And it's beautiful and it's amazing. But within this story, there is something else that God does for us, something else that God whispers to us through the story that is a gift to us beyond compare, and in many ways takes us out of simply a story about God and man and humanity and that story, and it makes it personal, like the story of my children unfolding before my very eyes. You see, God tells us in this story that there's more to it than just the global sense of humanity and God. There's you and there's I. The man David that we're busy dealing with in the journey that next week we talk again about his story, wrote in the Psalms several things that came from his heart as God revealed himself to David, and David gives us the gift of showing us what God says. And today I want to step into one of those Psalms. It's Psalm 139. I want you to turn there in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, under the chairs there's a bunch of Bibles. Grab one. I'm using my Bible today instead of one of ours, and so I don't have the page number for you, but Psalms is right in the middle of the Bible, more or less. So go to the middle. When you see Psalms, go to Psalm 139. And I want you to read along with me as we read the words of David as he is discovering God's revelation to him about who God is and who we are according to God. It starts in verse 1 of Psalm 139 with these words. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. See, David begins before he steps into the secret that God has about you and I, and he sets us up by understanding exactly who God is before we get going. I mean, he tells us that God is God, that he is everywhere, that he is everywhere and he knows everything, that there is nothing outside of his scope. David goes on to say that no matter where you go, up, down, left, right, forwards, backwards, doesn't matter. Doesn't even matter if you go into places that you would assume God would never be because it's just so dark. David says, oh, don't underestimate God. He goes on to say, God isn't only everywhere, but he knows everything. He goes so far as to say that before you speak a word and it forms on your tongue, God already knows what that word is. You know what that means? That means that God doesn't figure out things the second you say them. It means that you figure out things the second you say them because God already knew them. I love it. God already knows what you're going to say. That's what David says here. You are dealing with a God that is absolutely and totally in control. He knows what's going on. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. And it is that God that David is about to tell us feels a particular way about you and I. Look at what he writes in verse 13. This God that is everywhere, he says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Whew. You know what this is telling us? I mean, brace yourselves. Some of you go, oh, I already know. But take it in. God, for you and I, not for us, not for humanity, but for you and for me individually, God knit us together in our mother's womb. I mean, we have science that tells us the story of how it works. And I love science. I think science is totally cool. And as we get into science, we know how it all works. I'm not going to explain the birds and the bees to you right here in church, but we understand the process of that whole thing and how a baby grows in the womb and all that. You know what science does? Science takes the incredible mysteries of God and puts it in some tangible forms for us to be able to put our hands around and go, oh, there's a system here that God has in place that's beautiful and wonderful. But the reality is science can only take us so far because the Bible tells us that in that process, while all that was going on from a scientific perspective, God is so big, he is so awesome that for each and every one of you, he was individually, fearfully, and wonderfully weaving you together to be exactly the person that he intended you to be. That means that exactly the way you think and act and look and all those things that make up the you, God knit all that together. It was not hidden from him. It was not by accident. It was beautifully, wonderfully done. And then the Bible goes on to tell us in this very passage that when you were born onto this planet, God did not go, I've put you together. I think I've done a fine job. Good luck. Have a great life, and use what I've given you. God does not do that. In fact, it tells us that every single day was ordained by God before they ever happened. What we find out as God reveals himself to David is that God does not only have a story about the big picture of humanity and God, but he has a very particular story for you and for me as individuals. And it is that story that he wants to reveal to us so that we can choose it and so we can live it. And God comes along and there you go. Okay, can you hear me? All right, so hold on. All right, so here's the deal. In this process, as God thinks about how he's put us together and what he wants for us, and he wants us to discover that story, and he wants us to choose that story, and he wants us to walk into that story, God comes along into our lives, and he whispers to us at a certain point, hey, follow me. I will show you some things you can't even begin to imagine. I will take you places you can't even begin to think about. At the same time, that villain in the story that we talked about, that villain comes along who is bent on destroying anything that God, the creator and sustainer, wants. He comes along to you and I and he says, don't you pay attention to that now. Listen, you're much safer taking things into your own hands. You're much safer sitting under the apple tree. Don't you dare go down a rabbit hole. It's a scary place. And you know what? If you go down that rabbit hole, you're going to have to trust in the one taking you down the rabbit hole. And you don't want to trust in anybody else but yourself. Because the only real smart person on the planet is you. I mean, it feels pretty good, doesn't it? I know I'm pretty smart. I'm a pretty neat person. And then God comes along and says, hey, before you jump into a story of your own, just know this. I've got a story that will take you out of the everyday, the ordinary, and into a world you can't begin to fathom. God calls us not just to know his story, but he calls us into the story. It's very different. He calls us into the story. I want to read you something. I want you to listen to these words. And as you listen to these words, as you think about these words, tell me if this doesn't sound like a white rabbit calling you into a rabbit hole. You ready? Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitted on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That is out of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29 and 30. You can turn there if you'd like so you can see it yourself. That was from The Message, which is a paraphrase of the Bible. Gives you kind of a neat perspective, not a great thing to study from, but a great thing to read to give you perspective. The NIV says it the same way, which is the Bible you have. Go to Matthew chapter 28, and I'll read it out of our Bibles. That you just heard, that call, that whisper, is directly from the mouth of God, from Jesus Christ himself. And this is how it reads in the NIV. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, Jesus comes into our lives and he says, this world you live in, you've got certain ideas about it. I mean, for instance, stories. We all know that a great story is a human being that can go global. You know what I'm saying? When your story is no longer just the story of the people around you, but you get to be one of those people like Martin Luther King who has a story that everybody knows about, then you've moved out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. That is story. And God comes along and says, you're totally missing the boat. Yeah, those are great stories. But what human beings think of as great stories and what I'll show you to be a great story is an upside down world. When you step out of the human world into the world that God has for us, yes, it calls you into some strange things. You'll find yourself in an upside-down umbrella floating on a river with some people coming by and singing a song, and you'll go, that is just a little weird. But God calls us into things because he knows where they take us. He knows where they lead us, and it leads us into rest for our souls, into freedom, and into life. And as we follow Christ, as we give him our lives and say, you tell me what my story is, I'll follow that story, God begins a beautiful process in our lives. He begins to speak into our lives what it takes to live his story. See, God understands, because he created us, that you are made up of different things. You're made up, obviously, of your relationship with God, your spirituality. You're made up of your relationship with yourself, how you take care of yourself, what you do, your character, who you are, all the things that's just about you and you. You're made up of your life in relationship to others, from your wife or your husband to your kids to your friends to your coworkers to your enemies. And you're made up of those things that you have, your resources, gifts, talents, abilities, finances, all that stuff. You know what God does? In this story, after he whispers to you and says, I have a story for you, he then begins to speak into your story. Husbands, here's the story. Wives, here it is. Children, here it is. Parents, here it is. Folks, here's how you deal with relationships on the outside. Friends, enemies, all of it. Spiritually, here's how it works. He just speaks in, and speaks into your story. And he guides you and directs you into the rabbit hole and into the doors as you follow down. And sometime you wake up and go, this world is a world of absolute wonder. Now, I'll tell you what we want to do here. It's June, and it's summer, and summer's just begun, and we're excited. Because I love summer, because I love the warm weather. And I try to extend summer as long as I can, so I don't buy into the whole school schedule, because that's like a short summer. Summer starts June 1st, and it ends sometime in end of November. No, it ends in the end of August, okay? So June, July, and August, summertime. Summertime here at Mosaic Church, we are going to have a running theme for the next 3 months. And here it is, the summer of dreams, folks. So prepare yourselves, because we're going to have a summer of dreams together. And here's what the summer of dreams translates into for us, okay? I know without a shadow of a doubt, and Mosaic Church knows without a shadow of a doubt, that God designed you for a story, an amazing, extraordinary, wonderful story. And God wants you to discover the story He has for you. He wants you to choose that story, and He wants you to live that story. And what we want to do here over the months of summer is give you opportunities to discover what God's story for you is. Some of you have chosen to follow Christ already. Some of you are still journeying toward that as you're trying to discover what this whole thing looks like. But as you choose that, that is a big part of the story. But many of us, even after choosing to follow Christ, don't know exactly what God's story for us is meant to be. And we're going to take the opportunity here to create avenues and opportunities for you here at Mosaic this summer and the fall for you to discover exactly what God's beautiful story is for you. And as you discover it, we will create opportunities and avenues for you to know what it means to choose God's story, not just up here, but in action and in life. And then as you step into God's story and you live God's story, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get to sit back. And I'm going to get to watch and see what happens, like I do in my home, when a whole bunch of people from a church, a family, get together and say, God, what's my story? And choose to take that story, to give themselves to it, and to live it. And someday, a few years from now, you and I together, all of those of you that say, I'm in, I choose the story, I'm going to live it, we're going to pull a box off a shelf. Sometime in the next few years. It won't be a literal box. It will be something in our minds. Imaginatory. I love imagination. And we'll pull that box off the shelf and we'll put it right here on this table and I'll say, okay. I'll open the box and I'll say, who's first? What story do we want to talk about first? And I'll just see hands going up. Me, I want to talk. And I'll go, okay, let's talk stories. And you know what we're going to discover? We're going to discover the same thing we're going to discover someday when we get to leave this planet and enter into the wonderful world that God has waiting. We will discover that every one of your stories was intricately important and critical to our story. And our story was intricate and critical to the story of God unfolding on this planet. And you'll get to go, this is my story. And we'll go, oh, that story is awesome. And we'll all cry. And then we'll go, your story touched me. And we'll realize what God's plan was. That His story is our stories combined. And someday, after we've done that right here, you and I will get to leave this planet. You know what's going to happen? I already know. Because I've read about it in the big story. You're going to walk into that wonderful world and you're going to see a story of history. And God's going to go, all right, who wants to go first? Because your story's in there. There's a thread that's your story, and I'm warning you ahead of time, I'll be the one going, me, and God's going to go, Renaud, come over here. You can go first. You've always liked to talk a lot anyways. And I'll pull that thread of my story out, and I'll say, I discovered God's story for me when I was back in my early days at Mosaic Church, and I chose that story. It wasn't easy, but I chose it. I went down the rabbit hole, and then as I lived the story, this is my story. And I will say it with such pride. You know why? Because my story will have played a critical part in glorifying God and allowing His story to be true and wonderful. And so I'll go, my story glorified my Savior. Nobody wants to miss out on that. I promise you. So consider Mosaic Church for the summer and into the fall as a little white rabbit who will stick its head out in your life, bloop, out of a rabbit hole while you're sitting under the apple tree and go, excuse me, hello? And you'll go, yeah? And we'll go, you should come and check this out. It's unbelievable. And you'll go, really? That looks kind of scary. And we'll go, it is kind of scary coming down the rabbit hole. It's not always easy. But what you discover down here will blow your mind. There is a world of wonder waiting for you that a God who loves you has created for you. Don't miss out. May you and I, like Alice, but more intentionally, follow Christ down his rabbit hole and discover the story that he has for us. Let's pray. God, I am so grateful that you have shown me a few rabbit holes in my life. Rabbit holes that you've journeyed me down into the world in which you exist, that has completely changed the world in which I exist. Thank you for the things you've shown all of us as we journey toward you. I pray now, God, that you would open our eyes to discovering the depths and height and breadth of the story that you have for each one of us. Speak into our lives as friends, as husbands, as fathers, as mothers, as wives, as children, as parents, as people. Speak into our lives the things that reveal to us our story, what you want us to live like in those arenas, so that our lives, as you promised in Matthew 11:28, so that our lives will walk into a freedom and a life beyond our imaginations. Teach us, God, that your rabbit hole is life itself. And the more we're willing to give ourselves to the story you have for us, the more extraordinary our story will become. We love you, Jesus.